It's the after repair value. So it's after you actually repair the property. What is it going to be worth to a buyer on the market or to a bank that comes in and appraises that property? That's super important, because how do you even run your numbers if you don't know how much the property is going to be worth when you're done? So how are you investing your money if you don't know what you're going to be able to get back out of it?
You know, team, what do we usually use in our market? What formula do we use?
So basically the formula that we normally use is we do.
So it's really ARV times 0.75 minus the repair costs that you come up with. We'll talk about that here in a second. Minus your wholesale fee, like Tyrone just said, in our market is $12,500 equals your MAO, which is your max allowable offer. That's the most that I can offer the seller.
I want to give you guys some type of like softwares and different things that we use to calculate the ARV.
Yes.
Now, for us specifically, first, number one, the number one best way of having the best data to go off of is dealing with a realtor in your market, or if you have your license, or if you go and get your license, right? But it's dealing with a realtor in your market where you're able to get access to the MLS.
Boom. Yo, welcome back to another episode of Moguls in the Making. In this episode, T and I, we're going to talk to you about how you can get a rental property even if you don't have money at all. If you're broke, you don't have any money, that's what we're going to talk about today. And me and Tyrone have been able to build up a portfolio of just over $10 million in just a short couple years, you know, through building up passive income and things like that. So make sure you stay tuned for the whole video, and make sure that you like, subscribe, and comment if you do get value out of this video.
Absolutely. So look, the point that I think the biggest point to let people know is, like, why do you even want to invest in the real estate for rental properties in particular? And I think the thing to really explain to everyone is flipping, strategies like wholesaling, those are basically your fast money, right? But once you get away from those type of investment strategies, like, say, for instance, you go out of the country, and you're a flipper, right? And you go out of the country for 6 months. You're not going to continue to get flipping money. Same with wholesaling, right? Once you stop, your business stops.
Right. It's active income, not passive income.
Exactly. So on the rental side of things, it's more of passive income, right? So what I mean by that is, say for instance, you own a property, your mortgage on that property is $500 a month. You end up getting a renter in that property for $1,200 a month. You're making $700 a month on that property every single month, as long as obviously you have the right system set up as a rental portfolio and you're buying the correct properties. Let's keep that in there too. You have to go about getting the right property management companies, etc. But with that, if you have all of that in place the correct way, you're supposedly making $700 a month. That even if you're here or there, those people have to pay their rent on the first every month, right? And so that's more of your passive income. You can be away from it. Your wholesale strategies, your flip strategies, those are more of active income, if that makes sense. But the strategies that we want to kind of teach to you guys today, and I'll let Omari kind of speak on a little bit of it, the strategies that we want to give to you guys today is actually going to allow you to do that same exact thing, but with little to no money.
Little to no money, right?
Sometimes no money.
Exactly. And what most people do when getting into the rental business and buying rentals is they usually go through the process of getting pre-approved through a bank, right? So you got a, 700 credit score. So you have, a decent amount of funds in the bank. Then you go to a bank, you let them know you want to get real estate property or investments and things like that. They underwrite you, your profile, right? You as a borrower, and say, hey, we'll give you this interest, 4.25 interest rate, or right now it's probably higher, but then you put 20% down, then you can go and buy a property, right? So now I can go and buy a property. It's $200,000. I go and put $50,000 down. Now my mortgage is $150,000. Now I got my mortgage, whatever that is, probably about $800-$900, and I try to get somebody in there for, $1,400-$1,500, and I make my money. But the problem is, not a lot of people have $50,000 just sitting around to go and get a nice rental property.
Or 700 credit scores.
Right.
Or reserves. there's a lot that comes with that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so today, that's actually what we want to get over to you guys is this strategy that we use, currently use even, to purchase rental properties with no money and no credit.
And me and Tyrone never went that way that I just explained to you guys. That first way of going through the bank and getting, me and Tyrone never did that. And we own over, you know, $10 million in real estate in just a couple years. So let's get into it. Let's get into it, T. What's kind of the first thing, you know, that you want to talk about as far as the strategy?
Well, the strategy that we're talking about here is creative finance. And when we mean by creative finance, there's a couple different ways of creative finance, but there's two ways in particular that we've been able to purchase rental properties here in Indianapolis and people have been able to do across the U.S., right? And one of those ways is subject to. The second way is
seller finance.
And so we'll break down both. I'll break down the subject two. How about you break down seller finance?
That works.
Is that cool?
Yep.
So subject two, essentially what it is the term is subject two because you're becoming subject to an existing mortgage, right? So what you're doing is you're technically taking over this person's interest rate, this person's mortgage payment, their amortization, everything that they had in that loan package, you're taking that over and you become the owner by deed, but the name on the mortgage does not change. And so basically, here I'll explain kind of to you how this works, right? So essentially on a subject to deal, what you would do is, for example, say for instance, I had a person that was about to start becoming late on their payments and I knocked on their door, right? For instance, and I spoke with them about their property. They said, hey, we don't want to start going into foreclosure, you know, stuff like that. I lost my job, but I want to move from this property and just move on with my life. Like that's technically what I want to do. And so what you would do is you would say, okay, that's cool. Let me find out a little bit more of the information on the mortgage. Let's say that mortgage came out and that mortgage was $600 a month, right? It's a 4%, 3% interest rate, right? It's a 30-year locked-in mortgage, right? And so what you would do is you would assess the property for how much the rents are in the area, how much the ARV is in that area, so you can see how much equity they actually have. Even if they have zero equity, this strategy still works.
Yes.
Keep that in mind. They can have zero equity. They can be upside down on their mortgage, and this strategy still works. So let's say, for instance, okay, they're paying $600 a month. You do your research on rentals, and there's no work that needs to be done to the property. Now, what can happen is basically you come in, you look at, you like, wait a minute, people get $1,300 rents in this area for three-bedroom property. This is a three-bedroom property, right?
And these deals do happen.
These deals do happen. We had somebody that reached out to us about a property like this they had just bought that month.
And 2 weeks later, and they wanted to sell it.
They already wanted to get out of it. So keep that in mind. So these are realistic stories. And say for instance, they rent out for $1,300, boom, you get them out of their property. They sign a subject to agreement with you. You get them from under their mortgage. They get to move on, boom, and take it and go and rent somewhere else. But they know that property is secure under the contract that they have with you, that you're going to be paying that $600 a month. And that's taxes, insurance, and payments. But you're renting that property out. So what you're going to do is you're going to either go find a long-term property buyer on the back end, which you can owner finance that to them, lease option the property to them where they're basically buying to rent. So you can, for example, you can go have somebody come in that's, hey, they're looking for something like this. They want to pay $1,300 a month, but they want to buy, right? So you can have those people come in, put $10,000 down. That down payment goes to you. Boom, you make $10,000. Right. But you're also making the difference between that $600 and that $1,300 a month, which is $700 a month cash flow as well. That's subject two for you.
It's advanced right there, man. Dude, that was fire. You said buy to rent, not rent to buy. But I just had to
rent to buy. They know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
All right. Okay. Okay. So that's subject two. Super creative. We got subject two. Properties in our portfolio and they do excellent, right? You know, if you set them up correctly. So the other strategy that we want to talk to you about, the creative strategy is seller financing. Now, seller financing is very similar to subject two. The difference is there's no mortgage, so you can't subject to anything, right? Because there's nothing to sub to. The property is free and clear. So Let me give you an example of a property like this. So you would speak to maybe a seller. Let's say they're getting ready to retire, right? And they've been on this property for 30 years. They don't have a mortgage on it. But instead of them selling it to you in cash, right? I buy this property for $200,000, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of them just selling it straight out to me, they might, or you can talk to them about taking payments over time, which will help them out on taxes, right? If I just sell a property straight out, $200,000, I get that. I still have to pay taxes on that money.
Capital gains.
Capital gains tax and things like that. But now if I don't, and I actually take payments and do a seller financing, pretty much the seller becomes the bank. They act as the bank. They say, hey, we'll give this to you. They create a note. They basically create a mortgage with you, right? But your benefit is you don't have to put $200,000 up. You just negotiate the down payment. Sometimes it's $0. Sometimes you don't have a down payment and you just start paying a mortgage. But they give you an amortization schedule of 30 years that you have to pay that back. And sometimes it's 0% interest. It's whatever you negotiate, right? But, you know, typical, you know, could be 3 or 4% interest, just like a regular bank. You go to the bank, you get a loan, and they give you, hey, this is how much your monthly payment is going to be, and here's how much you got to bring to closing. But a person is way more flexible than a bank. A bank has to go through certain guidelines and certain rules. There's no way you can go to a bank and say, hey, can I put a little bit less money down? They're not going for that, right? Yeah. But a person, maybe.
You can negotiate.
Right, you can negotiate with them.
Everything's
negotiable on seller financing. So this is a great strategy for you guys to be able to get into rentals. Yes, is it a little bit unique? Yes. Is it a little bit, you know, maybe harder, right? Will you lose out on some opportunities? Yeah, but can you do it? And there's plenty deals for you to do it if you go and stay at this strategy, you know, every time you talk to a seller? Absolutely, you could do it. Absolutely, 100%. So same thing Tyrone said. You'll get an amortization schedule. Let's say you put, you know, no money down and your payment is, you know, $1,000 a month. It's in a nice area. The seller just got done with renovations. Instead of them listing it on the market, they're going to sell it to you, seller finance, so that they can get a better, you know, better break on their better tax break, right, for that property. You know, you're able to get that property, right? So now, boom, I go and get a renter in there, right? I can do whatever I want to do after that. The property is mine, right? They're the bank. You own the property now. It's seller finance. You own it unless you default, and then they have to foreclose you just like a bank. I keep saying that because people kind of just they don't think of it as the same thing, you know.
Right.
But the seller literally is the bank. So I would do that. Get a tenant in the property, you know, 1500. You know, I would recommend, you know, trying to get in B-class areas that are, you know, low crime, township schools, or, you know, just a decent area, right? And, you know, that way your tenant base is a little bit better, right, if you can. So go and get somebody in there, $1,500, boom, I'm getting $500 a month, and now I completed my first rental. It's really, you know, not too much more to it than just that.
On top of that, you can do the same strategy. You can have somebody come and put money down, so you get that same exact thing. You get $10,000 up front, and then you start to rent it out and make $500 a month, as an example.
Right.
But we got.
Let me say this part too, just to back up just a second. Seller finance could be the same thing. The way that you can overcome, if the seller wants a down payment, they're like, hey, I'm not going to do it for no money. Okay, cool. They want $5,000, $10,000 down. You get it for 30 days, you market it, you get a lease option buyer. That's a buyer that's going to, what Tyrone already explained, that's going to come and put that down payment down. You go get a lease option buyer, they give you $10,000. That $10,000 goes to the seller, right? So now they get that $10,000. You didn't come out of your pocket anything, but now you own the property and you get that cash flow.
Absolutely.
That could work too.
Absolutely.
But go ahead.
but now we kind of want to give you at least four. So basically we're going to give you four steps on exactly how to make this happen. So step number one is you have to find the deal.
Right.
So how do you find these type of deals?
Well, one way is just going down to your city, your courthouse, right? And, you know, the city has, you know, list, right, of properties that you can go and get for people that's like on that are more likely to sell, like evictions or divorces or pre-foreclosures, people that are in a situation that may need to sell. These lists are free. Yep. These lists are free, right? It may take a little bit of work going down there and figuring everything out, but these lists are free, right? Everybody knows about them that's been in the game a while. So
right, but a lot, but everybody doesn't pull them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what's crazy because of the work that you got to put in to get them. But that's, I mean, if you don't have money, you got to put up hustle.
Yeah.
You got to put up something. You're not putting up money, but you're putting up a lot of hustle and a lot of time. You're giving, you're basically trading time and hustle for money.
Yeah.
Right. So in this instance, let's say, for instance, I think the one of the best lists to go in and to find deals on is going and finding where your pre-foreclosures are. So these are people that are about to go into foreclosure on seller finance and on subject two in particular. These are the prime people that need your help. Right. So these are the people that you really need to get out of a situation.
Yes.
So they actually are motivated to just, you know, work with you to begin with, right? And so basically, you can go a couple different ways about this, right? So you can go and you can market a ton of different ways. I mean, you got mail, you got ringless voicemails, you got cold calling, you got texting, you got door knocking. But if I want to keep it simple and keep it super low cost or no money, the two strategies that I think that are going to be the best for you starting out are going to be door knocking and cold calling. Door knocking is going to be obviously free. I mean, you're going
to drive. That's number one. You don't want to spend no money? Go knock on that door.
Absolutely. And for pre-foreclosures in particular, that strategy works the best.
Exactly.
Over time. So, because you're bringing it to their front door, right? They're already getting all these phone calls every single day.
They're not answering the phone.
From banks and all this stuff because they're in foreclosure. They're about to go through pre-foreclosure. They haven't paid their payment, right? And so what you're doing is you're saving them from that, but calling them, they're already not answering their phone, right? But you still can't call them. That's another strategy too. So you would skip trace them and call them. But yeah, so finding that deal to me is going about that, going and finding those lists, going and being able to door knock on these people doors and bringing it to their front steps. And at that point, we move into step two.
Right, which step two is
speaking.
Actually speaking to the seller. So just a couple things in mind. You know, when you go to a seller's house, don't overthink it, right? Don't show up in a suit and tie and, you know, just overdo it because you look like somebody that's a part of the bank or something.
Exactly.
You're scaring them, right? They're everyday people just like you and you and I, right? So go there with, you know, just a hoodie on, some jeans, some nice shoes, you know, ladies, you know, similar in your, you know, whatever it is for you, just regular, right? Everyday. And, you know, put together and things like that. And when you ring the doorbell, actually knock on the door instead of ringing the doorbell, right? Because they got a chance to look at you and say, I don't know who this is and not answer it. But if you just knock on the door, it's a chance they may just come to the door. Step back, give them some space and things like that. And then just kind of let them know, right? An intro that you could say is something similar like, hey, you know, I was just kind of in the area. I did notice, you know, that, you know, this property may need a little bit of help on it. I just wanted to talk and see if you were kind of open to it. I do have a lot of solutions that you may like, that you may be able to keep your property with or something like that, right? You want to come in a direction of not saying, hey, I see that your property's in pre-foreclosure. Don't say that. Hey, you know, like that's that's pushing a guard up on a person for no reason, right? You want to come at a way and say, hey, you know, I was just in the area. I did get notified from the city, you know, about this property. I did just kind of want to, you know, take a second to speak to you about it. If you got a couple minutes, I think, you know, you'll like what I have to say. We may be able to keep that property for you.
Yep.
Right.
And from there, you really breaking down the process that we just explained to you. So how can I help you? Right. So, they'll start, you know, tell me a little bit about what's going on with the property. You know, if they're able to let you in, tell me a little bit more about what's going on with the property. You know, I would just like to see, you know, maybe the condition of it and just kind of the situation maybe that the property is in.
Yes.
Boom. Now they get to talking about the property. Well, you know, I just was late on my payment last month, you know, and I really lost my job 3 months ago, et cetera. Okay, cool. So for me, I think I do have a few options. Like, you know, knowing what your mortgage is now and, you know, stuff like that. First of all, don't ever ask them for their mortgage. Ask them, is there anything owed against the property?
Right.
That's when they're going to start talking about the mortgage, okay? So, but once you get into that, now you have all the information that you need, right? So you're like, hey, look, you know, from coming from my point, you know, there's a couple different ways that I'm normally able to help you. With the equity that you have in this property, is probably not going to be make sense for us to purchase the property cash, I'll be completely honest. But we have been able to help sellers in another type of way. And I think this way fits your situation the best. And that would be you know, being able to give me terms on the property. They're going to always say, what is that? What is terms?
What is terms?
Right. And from there, you basically, Well, let me break it down for you. So basically, essentially what we would do is, you know, we would go into what we call a subject to. Now, what that is we'll be subject to your existing mortgage. So what that will allow you to do is it'll allow you to be free from the existing mortgage. We will become the owners on deed, and we will take over your loan payment for the remainder of the loan, right? And you're able to move on. They're going to come back. Well, sometimes they're going to come back. Well, you know, say for instance, in the future, I want to buy another house and it's going to be on my record and right. blah, 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 blah. And you just, I'll give you guys just one rejection. I mean, answer to that type of rejection is, so there's a debt. So basically the only thing that really affects that is your debt to income ratio when you're going to another bank and you're looking to buy a car or a house or anything like that. So there's a form that, you know, you're able to fill out and using a servicer for your loan. And we're able to actually get that debt to income ratio, not erased, but basically it'll show that the amount in your mortgage, which is $1,000, is being covered by a buyer that is paying your loan for $1,000 a month. So what that'll do is it'll take that $1,000 that you owe that's on your debt service, that's on your debt income ratio, and it'll erase that basically off by erasing that amount off.
Right.
So it'll help your actual your chances of yet getting another loan.
And consult all your CPAs. We're not CPAs or anything
We're
like
not
that,
CPAs.
But we have done this strategy. This kind of has what has worked for us,
yeah.
right? And, you know, there is a way for that seller to be able to get into another property. But, you know, if you're in a different state or got different rules or different banks,
absolutely.
Just, you know, consult your people and things like that. Just do your own research in your own city. But just letting you know, this is the strategy and this is how it is done, you know,
absolutely.
And completed. And, but that is a huge rebuttal that a
yeah.
seller would give. Another rebuttal that they give is like, does this have to, does this mortgage have to stay in my name for the remaining term of the loan, right? I just bought it 2 years ago and now I kind of, you know, am in a situation I can't afford it, lost our job, we need to move back at home with our parents. Like, you know, does it stay on my name? I even if I can get another house, I don't want it to stay in my name. And you want to set up the conversation to let them know that the loan will stay in your name, right? Like, we do have to, you don't want to. It's an uncomfortable conversation because you're like, hey, yes, it's going to stay in your name. And you know that you're almost close to getting a deal and you want to say, no, it'll go out of your name. You know, we'll make sure that it gets out of your name in a couple years and lie to the seller and then it's going to come back to bite you.
Exactly.
So let the seller know, no, it is going to stay in your name, right? But over time, but history shows that, you know, within 7 years, you know, somebody does end up, you know, we can do some type of exit strategy with it, right? We'll end up flipping it. Maybe we'll end up selling it. We'll end up doing something different with the property, refinance the property if the rates are good. There's a lot of different exit strategies we can do, right, as the person who's buying the property. But you want your expectations right with the seller so that you're not dealing with that a couple years later and the rates didn't go down. And now you got to refinance it, or now you got to hurry up and try to flip it or sell it, or, you know, you in a situation that's not comfortable for you.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to that, and speaking with sellers with that rejection as well, because, and just keeping it real with them, hey, look, so at this point, you know, you can either, you know, decide to do something about it, or you can just sit in this and let your property go into foreclosure, and now this is on your credit record, and now you have to file for bankruptcy, and now you're not able to purchase a house for years on end, when you could have just got out of the situation by, you know, going through this process with us. We've done it. You know, it's a process that works. And we have happy sellers that, you know, that are still moving forward with their lives right now.
And you may be able to get some money in your pocket.
You might be able
versus
to get money
getting
in your
nothing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, but what happens after that, right?
Yeah.
Is actually getting the contract.
Exactly.
So in that instance, basically, if they agree, you know, upon this, again, consult your lawyers in your state, but get the paperwork. And we actually have some paperwork templates and stuff like that. Reach out to us if you guys are interested. We have a paperwork packet that, you know, is subject to paperwork, stuff like that. But you'll have to get the right paperwork in place that will allow you to get the contract signed. But this is what I will tell you guys. Please do not, and it depends on what type of state you're in. There's title company states and there's lawyer states, right, where you close with a lawyer. But make sure you go through the title company. Make sure you go through the lawyers, that if you're in a lawyer state.
Because
once you get that paperwork signed, that doesn't mean that everything is just in place now, right? So you have to go through that process of the title actually changing over to you. The deed actually changing over to you. So on record, when you go and search tax records, et cetera, it should say your name.
Your name on there.
It shouldn't say theirs.
It's two documents, too big. You got a deed and you got a mortgage.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's two separate things. So you want to be on a deed, but their name stays in the mortgage.
Exactly. And then fourth, after that, your last step is to do what?
Find a
buyer and get you into some money.
Yep.
This is where it all starts to make sense for you.
Okay.
And step four, you want to go out. How do I find buyers, right, for a situation like this? They're all over the place. So what we do is we actually take that property and we'll actually put it up on Zillow, put it on Facebook Marketplace for a rent-to-own property, right? You can either do that or you can just get it as rent. If you want to keep it long-term and you want it to be your property, that's fine. But normally what we do is we put it up for rent or you put it up for rent-to-own or a lease-to-own, right? And in that instance, somebody's either going to come in and put some money down. So if you want to exit the deal and you don't want to put money down, but the seller wanted a certain amount of money, you have to go with lease option because you have to have someone come in and put that money down in order for you to pay them off for what they wanted down. And then you can start getting the cash flow. But if you're fine, but if you didn't have to put any money down, then you can either keep it as a rental and just make sure that you're covering that mortgage payment. I would say keep at least a $400 to $500 range there, where you're cash flowing at least that every single month. I would say $500 if possible.
Yep.
But also you're able to bring that. So we basically put that up for tenant buyers or tenant leasees, and we're able to make that money over time. You bring the buyer in, like we said, on Facebook Marketplace. We found a lot of tenant buyers on. And also we use Zillow. I think that was our main two strategies. I don't know. And Craigslist.
Yeah.
Craigslist was
a big one. Also another just creative thing that you can do, it just depends, just creative things, right? One, you can put a sign in the yard, or you can put signs around them, like even bandit signs. Hey, rent to own home, whatever, $10,000 down. Right. And just stick these bandit signs around the property in the area. Put your phone number on there. People are going to call you.
Exactly.
Right. Or route it to a voicemail. Listen to all the voicemails. Call back the people that are interested.
I wouldn't necessarily put it in the person's yard, though.
Maybe not the person's yard.
At corners coming into the neighborhood, stuff like that.
Yeah, he's right about that. Unless you just got that good of a relationship with the seller and they don't care. I probably wouldn't do that. Put it around the property and things like that. A few blocks down around the way and things like that. Just very simple. Just write it. Cardboard, white, and black marker, and just that's it. Very simple, nothing special. Also, you can do a video in the property, right? Do a walkthrough video of you showing the property off. I know this is more kind of content, right, based, but show the property off like a realtor would show a property off, like those cool videos on YouTube, and just kind of show the property, show the benefits.
Great idea.
And then put it on Facebook, right? Put it on Facebook, share it with your friends, share it on Instagram, give people referrals if they know people who want a property who may not be able to qualify, right? Because that's the person you're speaking to. You want to speak to buyers who are ready to get a home, but they just couldn't qualify, maybe because their credit or they didn't have another year of W-2s, something like that, but they're pretty much in good standing. They're ready, right? We've been there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I can buy a house, but I can't technically buy a house from their guidelines.
Yeah.
So you want to find those people. Those people are ready, and they're going to stay in the property and eventually buy it from you on the back end. So that's how you kind of make money and get a rental.
That's exactly how you make money. So, again, if you want to learn more strategies like this, be sure to follow us. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to turn that bell on.
Yeah,
turn that notification bell on.
Come on now.
And mess with us. Comment below this video. We would like to hear what you guys have to say. In four steps, that's how you actually go about getting your first rental property without no money and even if you broke.
Let's get it.